aren't you glad that we don't get what we deserve? Let's talk about it on Key Life.
If you want the Bible to be a book of rules, and you think there's something dangerous about freedom, you probably want to stop listening now. But if you're looking for the truth that'll make you free, welcome to Key Life. Today on Key Life, Steve will continue his series on prayer titled Approaching God. This week he's been talking about the pain of unanswered prayer. After the teaching, stick around. Steve will take some time to answer your questions. You can call 1-800-KEY-LIFE 24 hours a day to ask your questions on the air. Steve will tell you more about that. And when you call, ask about how to get Steve's book on prayer, Approaching God, when you help support the ministry of Key Life. The number again, 1-800-539-5433. That's 1-800-KEY-LIFE. Now to the teaching on prayer.
You know, we really don't get what we deserve. If we did get what we deserved, we would get nothing. And so when you ask, how come God doesn't answer all of my prayers the way I want God to answer all of my prayers, you got to ask a far more important question. How come any of my prayers get answered? The story Jesus told of the Pharisee and the tax collector is instructive. You'll remember that the Pharisee stood before God and was thankful for his personal goodness. He was especially thankful that he was not like the tax collector. He said, you know, I give, I'm at church every time they open the doors, I read the Bible, I teach the Bible, I'm pretty good, and I thank you for that. There is nothing in the story Jesus told to suggest that that Pharisee was not as good as he said he was. I suspect he did all the things that he bragged about. He was not unjust. He hadn't committed extortion. He hadn't committed adultery. And he had certainly never taken money from poor people through taxes. He did. He really did fast often. And he did give a lot of money to good causes. Now, you remember that the tax collector, the most vile of human beings, with the possible exception of a pig keeper to a Jew. I mean, the tax collectors were not on the very top of the social ladder. He didn't talk about his goodness. He didn't have anything to say about his goodness because he didn't have any. Jesus said that he stood afar off and he dared not look to heaven. His prayer was simple. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Now, if you have your Bible, Luke 18:14, Jesus makes this amazing assessment of the prayer lives of the two men. This is what Jesus said, I tell you, this man, the tax collector, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, Jesus makes at least three salient points in that story. First, Jesus pointed out that external acts of goodness, even proper ones, are no reason for God to act positively. Positively, it's the microphone, on the prayers that are offered. Those external acts of goodness often mask the sinful pride and arrogance of those who do them. Secondly, Jesus showed us that God listens to bad people who know they're bad. And thirdly, Jesus was showing us that there is no correlation between external acts of goodness and God's positive response to our prayers. The main point, however, is that God heard and answered the prayers of the bad man. If he didn't, he would never hear my prayers, and we would never hear yours. The question is not, why doesn't God answer? The question is, why he answers at all. When God doesn't answer our prayers the way we want him to, the proper response of a wise Christian is praise, because he answers any of our prayers at all. Do you know when you should ask me to pray for you? Right before I get into the pulpit, or right before I get on an airplane. In both of those cases, I am repented up. I just want you to know, I've confessed every sin that I know. I'm as spiritual as I get, as pure as I get, right before I get into the pulpit and right before I get on an airplane. So if you want me to pray for you, find out where I'm preaching, and just before I get into the pulpit, or just before I get before the lectern at the conference, you say, "Hey, Brown, I got a need here. Would you pray for me?" And you say, "Steve, that's neurotic." Yeah, it is, but you too. I mean, every time you get scared, you get repented up too. Every time you're worried, you confess all your sins. Now let me tell you something that'll really surprise you. Do you know that I've preached some of my best sermons when I was sinning the most? You're saying, "Steve, I don't believe I'd have said that." I've preached some of my best sermons when I was sinning. Now, God doesn't do that to me a lot. I mean, when that happens, I'll get into the pulpit and think I'm going to get squashed like a gnat. And then all of a sudden, the wind comes, the Holy Spirit under my wings. And what I'm preaching is so good, I'm taking notes on myself. I mean, I'm thinking, this isn't me. This is so good. And then I walk out of the pulpit and think, boy, there's a disconnect. If I'd been God, man, I'd have had me make a fool out of myself. And I've been there on occasion. And then God says to me, don't get presumptuous about this. And don't just take it for granted. That's not good. I want you to walk in my ways. I want you to repent. I want you to be faithful. But try to remember that what I do for you has nothing to do with your goodness. It has to do with my goodness. It's not your righteousness, dummy. It's my righteousness. And so when we get answers to prayer, we ought to be really pleased that we get any answers at all. Now, I'm not being disingenuous in telling you this, because we're going to have a lot more to say about this as we go along. But aren't you glad that you don't get what you deserve? When you pray, don't ask for justice. Get justice. You in serious trouble. You think about that. Amen. Hey, it's Wednesday, and sometimes on Wednesday, we take some time at the end of the broadcast to get to some of your questions. And then Pete, my pastor, will be in on Friday, and we'll spend the entire broadcast doing Q&A. And by the way, we take your questions very seriously. A couple of things to remind you about, or for you English teachers, about which to remind you. First, when you write us and you tell us stuff that's really hard, we're not pastors, we're not counselors, we're just your friend. We'll tell you what we think. We'll pray for you, and we pray for a lot of people here. But don't think we speak from Sinai, okay? And then secondly, you can ask your questions, and you always get an answer from me or a staff member on the broadcast or in the magazine. And you can call in your questions at 1-800-KEY-LIFE, or you can email your questions to steve@keylife.org, or by regular mail, Key Life Network, Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. In Canada, it's Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 28060, Waterloo, Ontario, N2L6J8. And we take, as I said, you and your questions seriously. If you can help us financially, please do. We don't ever push or hustle or tell you that the world's coming to end if you don't send money, but I would sleep better at night if you would. This is a very expensive ministry because we give so much away. So if you can help us, when you call or write, you can charge it to your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, include it in your envelope, and I promise that we'll squeeze every dime for the glory of God. And we are a not-for-profit organization. If you saw our budget, you would know that. We certainly are making lots of money here. So if you can help us, please do pray about it. If you can't, pray for those who can. I have said for years you can't use the 1-800-KEY-LIFE number for questions, but we changed our mind, and now you can. And you can get put on the air when you do that. We're way backed up on those questions, But feel free to pick up the phone, ask a question, and we'll get to you, and maybe you'll get on the broadcast like this person.
In reference to once saved, always saved, how do you interpret if Jesus is the vine and you're grafted into the vine, but you don't produce fruit, that he'll cast you out? He'll cut you off. The Father will cut you off and cast you into the fire, as well as that no adulterer or liar will enter into the kingdom of heaven.
That's the problem when you have questions like that or issues like that, is that you interpret a verse out of its context and without looking at the entire counsel of God. I have pagan friends who say you can prove anything from the Bible. You really can. I mean, anything, if you go to find verses that back up an argument. However, if you go to the Bible to be taught, you won't just look at the passage. And by the way, Jesus was talking about growing more fruit and the process that takes place within the context of a Christian who is never discarded, not talking about losing salvation. The other passage you quote had to do with an ongoing no response, no faithfulness whatsoever in your life. If the Holy Spirit's in your life, things will start getting better, and you'll start getting better. And if you have an ongoing pattern, and that's what the Greek means in those cases. But you won't take those verses out of context and let them condemn you. You'll go to the 10th chapter of John, for instance, where you're given 10 absolute guarantees that Jesus will never let you go. Over and over again, I am convinced, Paul said, absolutely certain that nothing will separate me from the love of God. Now, I could go on and on and on, and I know there are Bible believers who disagree with me, but the ones who are thoughtful about eternal security say, okay, I believe you can lose your salvation, but you got to do something really, really, really bad to have God turn away from you. Well, I don't believe he ever will. And if you believe that he will, it's only apostasy. And the scripture is very clear about that. Well, frankly, I meant to get to a whole bunch of questions, but I didn't. I ended up pontificating too long, so I'm out of time. I got to get out of here. Whenever you write or call, will you do me a favor and give us the call letters of the station? If you're listening on the internet, let us know that too. And oh yes, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.